a little rate hike surprise from the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Help for homeowners who have lost value and a jobs bill that's not so impressive, according to the former labor secretary. All that coming up. First, where's Wall Street? The S&P down about a quarter of a percent, same for the NASDAQ. The Dow off about 25 points, 10,367. European shares, however, are higher right now, and stocks tanked in Asia today, off about 2% or more. The Federal Reserve Bank raised its discount rate, that's the rate the Fed charges banks for emergency loans, from 0.5% to 0.75%. Gary Schilling is an economic consultant. He heads up his own firm in New Jersey, and he's with us live. Dr. Schilling, good morning.
Good morning.
What kind of repercussions are we talking about from this?
Not much. I think it reinforces actions that were already underway. For example, the dollar is really flying, but that's been the case recently largely because of the problems in the Eurozone and specifically with Greece. But I think that's about it. As far as the effects on the banks, not much. The banks are already sitting with over $1 trillion of more reserves than they need to support their current loans at the Fed. And the Fed, by raising the discount rate, said, we don't want you to borrow. Well, when you got $1 trillion of excess reserves and they're only borrowing now $15 billion, down from $100 billion when the financial crisis was raging, hey, they don't need more money.
Why are the banks, Dr. Schilling, holding on to these huge amounts of reserves?
Because they're scared. They really are scared after the debacle they went through, the near-death experience. So the banks really don't want to lend, and the creditworthy borrowers, those that the banks would be willing to lend to, hey, they're reducing their inventories, paying off loans. They're not investing in capital equipment. Consumers are paying down their debts. The creditworthy borrowers really aren't interested in borrowing. So it takes two to tango, and neither side wants to dance.
Quickly, Dr. Schilling, the Fed funds rate, you think it gets hiked sometime soon down the road?
No, not really. The Fed's made it very clear that this is really symbolic, and I think they're simply trying to tell the world, we are responsible citizens. When the time comes, which is probably, I think, not till next year, we will raise other interest rates, the ones that really count.
Dr. Schilling, thank you. We appreciate it.
Bye.
In a few hours in Las Vegas, President Obama will announce a new federal assistance program. It's going to help homeowners in states hit hardest by the housing crisis: Nevada, California, Florida, Michigan, Arizona. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
The president will use $1.5 billion from the $700 billion bank bailout fund. The money will go to state housing finance agencies and will likely be used to pay for mediation programs for homeowners who are underwater on their mortgages or to help the unemployed stay in their homes. Andrew Jakubowicz is a housing market expert at the Center for American Progress. He says $1.5 billion may not sound like a lot when you consider the size of the U.S. housing market, but
there is still a huge potential number of properties that might come into foreclosure that would really risk the nascent housing recovery. And I think that's where they're focusing.
The president will make the announcement at a campaign event for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who's facing a tough reelection race this year in Nevada, a state where 65% of homeowners are underwater on their mortgages. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, February 19th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Lowe's is partnering with one of the world's best cardiac hospitals. The home improvement chain is offering discount heart surgery to its employees, which leads to this question: can bulk purchasing really work for specialized health care? From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
According to the deal announced this week, if you're a Lowe's employee anywhere in the country and you need a bypass or a heart valve replacement, you can now get your surgery at the Cleveland Clinic. Lowe's bargained with Cleveland Clinic, much like they do with suppliers of wood chips or paint. In this case, Lowe's said, we'll let you treat our patients.
And you'll give us a discount.
Martin Gaynor at Carnegie Mellon University says more deals like this could drive down prices at lots of hospitals.
All those hospitals now don't just have to compete with other hospitals that had previously in the network. They have to compete with the Cleveland Clinic.
Bob Erie is in charge of benefit plans at Lowe's. He says the company self-insures about 100,000 employees and their dependents. Sending them to the Cleveland Clinic not only costs less, he expects the doctors to do less. Cleveland Clinic puts doctors on salary instead of paying them per procedure, so doctors don't have the same incentives to rush to the operating table.
If they were to decide that surgery was not what they would do, then they will recommend that back to the patient.
If the Cleveland experiment works, he says, the company might try to negotiate with other hospitals for back pain, a frequent complaint by Lowe's employees. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Golfing turned gossip sensation Tiger Woods holds a press conference later today. And what he's going to say is about as big a secret as that other secret he's kept for so long. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Tiger Woods is breaking his silence today. It's the first step in what his agent refers to as the process of making amends. Dan Leinweber is a public relations consultant.
I think that he should stand up and talk to the press and his fans. After all, he has millions of followers out there.
Making up with his fans is one thing. Making up with his sponsors could be more difficult. Before the scandal, Woods earned $100 million a year from companies like AT&T, an outsourcing firm, Accenture.
I would imagine the Accentures of the world will not be back to him.
But some sponsors, like Nike and video game maker Electronic Arts, stayed with Woods. And today's event could signal the return they've been waiting for. Michael Leeds is an economist at Temple University.
Tiger Woods is Nike. Nike is Tiger Woods, at least in terms of the golf world.
Leeds says Nike should do well from its 5-year deal with Woods, so long as he gets back on the course. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now, I'm guessing you didn't really know this. We're nearing the end of National Medical Marijuana Week. It's supposed to promote pot as medicine. But federal officials observe the week by busting shady distributors in states that condone therapeutic use. Reporter Cash Peters says if you want to open a legal medical marijuana clinic, you'd better know the rules of the game.
Seriously, what could be better than this? Stoners running their own marijuana clinic. But according to Bruce Pelowen, he's the king of pot. That's his nickname. It's happening a lot.
It's a fastest growing entrepreneurial business in America today. $14 billion in sales in California alone. T-shirts, one dispensary sells $6,000 in T-shirts with a marijuana leaf on it a month.
$6,000 a month. That's why he organized this convention, to train people to just say yes.
Yes, I'm thinking of opening a clinic myself.
You don't fear getting raided by the government?
Not really.
Well, maybe you should, because it's not paranoia. The feds really are out to get you, if you don't follow the rules. Bruce, though, thinks it's worth all the legal hassle because of what cannabis can do for sick people.
It does stop nausea. It does help MS. It expands your consciousness. You know, tune in, tune out, and drop out. You know, what was the Leary's phrase?
See, if you didn't smoke pot, you'd remember that.
Exactly. There you go. Well, I don't smoke pot now. It just doesn't agree with me personally.
Ironically, the king of pot is allergic to pot. Anyway, the convention is basically a school for stoners. Contact high. For an admission price of $420, I know, they learn all they need to know to set up a clinic. Nancy Dunlap is a professional life coach. She sees a real opportunity here.
78% of the voting public would like to see cannabis legal.
So if I wanted to set up a pot clinic, say you've converted me now.
That's where all the red tape comes in, and that's why one of these expos is so important, because you have to know what you're getting into.
We could call ourselves Rebels, Inc.
Yeah, you know, there's...
And you could handle all the drug stuff, and I just meet and greet.
Well, there you go, then. That's perfect.
Or, if owning a pot clinic isn't for you, I can't imagine that, but if it isn't, you could even open a learning center to teach people about marijuana. That's lucrative, too. Bill Carter used to be a cop.
I have advised my 28-year-old son that I think this is a good investment.
So you want him to open a pot clinic?
If that's what he wants to do.
But nobody grows up wanting to open a pot clinic.
Well, actually, Daddy is saying that's not such a bad idea.
Wow, I wish I had a daddy like that. In Los Angeles, I'm Cash Peters for Marketplace.
The jobs bill will be at the top of the agenda for senators as they get back together next week. Democrats are behind a $15 billion plan of mostly business tax credits, a fraction of another pricier bipartisan measure. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us to look ahead at what the jobs bill will and won't do. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So this sounds familiar to me. Didn't we try something like this like in the late 70s?
Yes, in the Carter administration. And economists are still debating how much it really had an effect. The consensus is that about two-thirds of the employers who took advantage of the tax credit then probably would have hired people in any event. So critics call it a waste of taxpayer money, while supporters say, hey, one out of three new jobs was pretty good.
But even if it works as hoped, I mean, $15 billion, is it going to buy that many jobs?
No. The Congressional Budget Office estimates 180,000 jobs at most. Now, Steve, compare that to the over 8 million jobs lost since the end of 2007, and it's pretty pathetic. Mm. The president's more ambitious jobs tax credit would cost $33 billion, but create something in the order of 750,000 to a million new jobs.
So why then, Bob, are the Senate Democrats aiming so low?
Oh, it's just politics. They want to be seen as doing something to create jobs, but they're afraid to be seen as doing too much and causing the deficit to grow. You know, all of this is being played out in light of the big stimulus enacted last year. Most independent economists think it saved or created more than a million jobs, but most Americans don't believe it. All they remember is the White House predicting the stimulus would prevent the jobless rate from rising much beyond 8%. And, of course, it's now at 9.7%. And even the White House is now predicting 9.2% next year. So there's just a lot of skepticism out there.
So where do we go then from here? What's next?
Well, probably nowhere. If you're talking about the Senate is in complete gridlock. I'm not even betting on another extension of unemployment benefits. Now that no one trusts Congress, Steve, our economic fate really is almost entirely in the hands of a small group of unelected officials called the Fed. And when it comes to jobs, it's going to be up to Ben Bernanke and company to decide how long to continue to stimulate the economy with cheap money.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
There's a big week coming up for health care reform in Washington. Make or break time, according to some. The president will host a bipartisan summit in an effort to revive the legislation that stalled in Congress. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports on the prospects for success.
As early as this weekend, the president will post a comprehensive reform plan online to kick off Thursday's summit.
I'm not sure what's going to be in it, and trust me, I've been trying to find out.
Ralph Neese is with the National Coalition on Healthcare Action Fund. He says lawmakers can find common ground, like preventing insurance companies from denying coverage due to pre-existing conditions.
I think it's a tremendous idea that there be a starting point for the Democrats, and I hope the Republicans are going to do the same thing.
Fat Chance says one Republican Senate aide, he says the GOP prefers to start over. But Newt Gingrich, who will blog about the summit on the Center for Health Transformation website, thinks Republicans should issue their own proposal.
Can they find out of the president's plan five or six things Republicans could vote for? And would the president be willing to bring up a bill that was the things they agree on rather than spend the time fighting over what they don't agree on?
But both Neese and Gingrich are skeptical the two parties will bury the hatchets. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, an email that went out last week congratulated 200 George Washington University applicants for getting in. A few hours later, another email said, no, you really didn't get in. It was a mistake. Well, things like that have happened before. Last spring, the University of California, San Diego, sent word of acceptance to everyone who applied, 28,000 of whom had to ultimately be rejected, proving once again the learning process never really ends. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.